Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
KYW Original Podcasts.
Joined for a couple of minutes by the great Ray Dininger to discuss the life and legacy of former Eagles corner and longtime CBS Sports broadcaster Irv Cross, who sadly passed away yesterday morning at 81. Ray, thank you for doing this on very short notice. Please, if you could, share with me your recollection of Irv Cross.
Well, Irv was a pioneer in many ways. He was a really good player. He joined the Eagles. He was drafted by the Eagles in 1961 when they were the defending world champions. They had won the title in 1960, knocking off the Green Bay Packers. So they come back in 1961, and they're now the defending champions. So they weren't an easy team to make. I mean, they had a good team. They had a good roster. And Irv was a draft pick. He was a defensive back from Northwestern. And they didn't keep many, not many rookies made the team back then. The rosters were smaller, and it wasn't easy to make the team, but he did. He joined the team. He was a defensive back, but he was also a kick returner and probably the fastest guy on the team. He and Tommy McDonald were probably the two fastest guys on the team. Irv went to Northwestern, and in addition to playing football, he ran track, and he was a Big Ten sprint champion. So he brought speed to the team, and he was the backup at cornerback to the great Tom Brookshire. And Tom, that year, the Eagles got off to a great start. The Eagles, they were like 6-1, 7-1. I mean, they got off to a really good start. It looked like they might go back and repeat as world champions. And then Tom Brookshire broke his leg and was out for the rest of the year. And the Eagles had two rookies as backing up the defensive backs. One was a guy named Glenn Amerson, and the other one was Irv Cross. And they gave Glenn Amerson the first shot at replacing Tom Brookshire. And the next 2 weeks, they just got slaughtered. I mean, Glenn Amerson was just the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns just picked on him terribly and routed the Eagles in those two games. And finally, the coach decided we can't possibly go on like this. So he benched Amerson and he put Irv Cross in. And Irv stepped in and played really good. And the team things settled down, and the Eagles started winning again when Irv went in there, because he didn't play like a rookie. He played like a veteran, and he played like a veteran right away. And Tom Brookshire never came back. That injury ended his career. And Irv Cross just took over that position and made it his own for several years and went from being a guy that was sort of an unknown rookie who all of a sudden steps into the lineup to a guy that became one of the best defensive backs in the league in pretty short order.
From what I was reading, Ray, he was really smart too, right? What made him so smart?
Well, he was a Dean's List student at Northwestern. And he was a guy that when he came to the NFL, one of the things that allowed him to succeed right away was he was a real student of the game. He was one of the first. He was one of the first guys that became famous for putting his own notebook together. When they studied film of the opponents of the upcoming game, Irv was famous for writing down all kinds of information, all kinds of very, very detailed notes about the guys that he would be covering, the guys he was assigned to cover. And by the time he would spend the whole week just studying them on film. And by the time the game rolled around, he had pages and pages of notes about every single thing about the guy, every tendency he had, what routes he wanted to run in certain situations, where he wanted to catch the ball, where he wanted it thrown, things about just little personal things, like if the guy came up to the line and he had one foot from sort of, if he had one foot sort of ahead of the other. It was an indication. It was a tip-off as to what kind of a route he was going to run. Irv saw those things. And it allowed him to make a really smooth transition into the NFL. A lot of rookies get overmatched. Glenn Amerson was an example. I mean, he went in and he just couldn't compete in the NFL. They put Irv in and he played like a veteran. And part of it was because of his ability. I mean, he was fast and he was tough. But the other part of it was he was really smart and he really spent the week studying and preparing so that when he went on the field, he was ready to play.
If I'm correct, Tom Brookshire worked for CBS too, right? Did I get his network correct that Tom Brookshire worked for CBS?
Yep, that's correct.
So, like, how fascinating do you find it that both Irv Cross and Tom Brookshire ended up working for the same network when Cross was the one who eventually replaced Brookshire once Brookshire had that career-ending injury?
Yeah, that is ironic that they both left the field. When they left the field, they stepped right into broadcasting with the CBS network, and both were extremely successful. I mean, Tom Brookshire went in, started out in radio, and then transitioned over to TV, and was very successful there. And then Irv Cross did the same thing. But when Irv did it, I mean, he became the first African American to become a broadcaster that I can remember in the NFL. I mean, it was really groundbreaking when CBS put together the show. NFL Today, it became the model of all the studio shows that we see now. That idea of having a set with a desk, and you had an anchor man, and you had a woman, Phyllis George, and then you had Jimmy the Greek, who was the gambling guy, and then you had Irv Cross, who was the X's and O's guy. And no one had ever really tried anything like that before. It was just something that they kind of experimented and said, well, let's see if this works. A half an hour show before the NFL games on Sunday, and it became hugely successful, wildly successful, to the point where everybody, all the other networks, decided, you know, they had to get a show just like it. But it was the first, it was the model, and it broke a lot of ground. And they broke ground by bringing Irv Cross and having him on the set. And he was just a natural on camera. He really was. And he obviously had this knowledge of playing the game, and as I said, being a real student of the game, he brought all that to the television. But the other part of it was he was just a very likable guy. He was a very nice guy. He was a very likable guy with a kind of a warm, engaging personality. And he brought that to the audience sort of felt that, and they trusted him. And, you know, when Brent Musburger, who was the anchor, would turn to him and say, okay, Irv, tell us about the Los Angeles Rams offense. What are they have to deal with today? Irv would start X's and O-ing it, but he did it in a way that was understandable to the audience. He was ahead of his time in many ways. And you know, all the football players who transition into broadcasting now, and my goodness, there's hundreds of them. You know, they owe a debt to Irv Cross because he was the first guy to show that it could be done.
Of course, absolutely. Certainly a trailblazer and a pioneer. Ray, do you remember how exactly he got into broadcasting? From what I'm reading, it was an off-season job at first, in a sense. He was at WIBG in Philadelphia. He did some TV at KYW-TV. Do you remember how he got into broadcasting?
That was it. He started out doing local radio. And it was the same path that Tom Brookshire followed. You know, Tom Brookshire, as I said, he broke his leg in 1961. When he was on the mend and trying to come back, he tried to come back. He wasn't able to do it, but he tried to come back. But while he was laid up, he began doing reports on the radio. He began doing sports reports on the radio on 1210 in Philadelphia, which was then WCAU. So he started there. And then when the doctors told him, when he found out, he tried to come back and wasn't able to come back, then he decided that radio was going to be his life full time, and he began doing more of that. And then he moved over and he became a Channel 10. He became the sports director of Channel 10, got into television, and then went from there on to being a network broadcaster for CBS. Irv kind of followed the same path. I mean, Irv was a real popular player and was given the opportunity. The local radio stations started with WIBG, gave him the chance that in the off season, you know, yeah, you want to come in and do some sports on the radio, the morning sports. And Irv said, sure, I'll give it a try. And came in, wasn't sure if he'd be good at it, wasn't sure if he was going to like it, but it turned out to be a really good fit. I mean, he did it well. And I don't know if at that time he was thinking in terms of broadcasting being his next career, but it was obvious very early on that he was able to do it. And it turned out to be, I mean, not just a nice opportunity for him, but one that really kind of opened the door for future players, for future generations.
Certainly, certainly. And the last one I have for you, Ray, when you think about the life of Irv Cross and the significance and the impact that he left with everything that he did, what is his legacy?
Well, I think for those of us that knew him, for those of us that met him and got to work with him, it's that he was a really bright guy and a very good guy. He was somebody that was very generous with his time. He didn't big time anybody. If you met him once, you felt like you knew him for years. He just had that kind of warmth and a really good personality. And you know, the other part of it was he did a lot of things that other people can't do or couldn't do. I mean, at the end of his career, when he came back to the Eagles, he was traded from the Eagles to the Los Angeles Rams, and then got traded back to the Eagles, and came back and was a player coach, which is pretty rare. I mean, in that era of football, I mean, he came back to the Eagles in 1970, and was he came back and was the defensive backfield coach and a player. You don't often see that. And then finished up as a coach. So, he did pretty much everything you could possibly do around the game of football. Came in as a rookie, sort of unknown, made the team, overcame injuries. I mean, he was, early in his career, he had a problem with concussions. They had to make up a special helmet for him because he had a number of concussions. And they gave him, if you see pictures of him playing, his helmet looks different than everybody else's. And it was because it wasn't the hard plastic shell helmet. They gave him sort of an old leather helmet, kind of like they used to wear back in the 30s, because it was a little bit more absorbent. And that allowed him to resume his career. But his career was almost short-circuited by concussions early on. But he played through that, became a Pro Bowl-level player, became a coach and a player, and then made the transition into broadcasting and became the first African-American player to have a real presence on network television. So, yeah, I mean, the people that remember Irv as a player will remember him as a really good player. But in a greater sense, he was a guy that was a pioneer in the game of football, and a guy that, for those of us that had a chance to know him and work with him, just a really decent fellow.
Hall of Famer Ray Dininger of 94WIP, I really appreciate your perspective on Irv Cross in this sad time. I really appreciate it, and doing it on short notice. Ray, thank you so much for the time, and stay safe.
You too, David. Talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.